As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's once again for time for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to our Wednesday, May the 20th, 2009, to our broadcast to become vocal local. Come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. Got a little website you might want to visit, www.vocallocal.org. And for historical benefit, you might go to ronpaulmeetup.com/56, ronpaulmeetup.com/56, and see what we did during the Ron Paul extravaganza. Anyway, my name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you again today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the oraclebroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the telephone and call now. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air or to take Oracle with you on the road on your mobile phone. And from around America and around the world, you may call in toll free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You can also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Missed any of those contact details? Go up to the Oracle Broadcasting.com website, and you'll find most of it there. Of course, you can always go back and access the archives and hear it over and over again. Nevertheless, here's a big shout-out to Liberty Radio in Orangeville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Gentlemen, thank you for broadcasting. Become vocal local to your areas. And again, our websites are vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number is 866-841-1065. And the Oracle chat room is open. Gold climbs today above $930 in early morning trading. Equities and U.S. dollars are closing lower. We'll go ahead and cover all of that. Of course, our main fare here is going to be anarchism, capitalism, and for out of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences and other source material. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into those market reports for Wednesday, May the 20th, 2009. Active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold up $5.30, trading above 9:30 at 9:30. That's kind of a nice number. Sounds good, you know. You get up there in the mid 900s and it starts to make a big smile appear on my face. Silver trading up 6 cents at $14.21. That's good news as well. Standing above $14 where it needs to be. It should be near 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, but we'll settle with above 14. Platinum up $6, trading at $1,145 an ounce. Palladium, $233 an ounce, up a buck over yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday off 29.23 points at 84.75. The NASDAQ closed up 2.18 points yesterday at 1,735. The S&P, Standard & Poor's 500, standardly poor, standard and all the poor people that still have their money in dollar-denominated assets, off 1.58 points, trading at 908. The U.S. dollar index, 81.72, off 31 basis points from yesterday. Folks, we'll pick it up on the other side of this break. Stay with us here on Become Vocal Local.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Ian, welcome back to our Wednesday morning, May the 20th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local as we get fired up here this morning. Again, my name is William Roberts. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. We are going through the market reports out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We find gold up, trading up $5.30 above $930.30 right now. So that's good news. That's good news. The USDX, this is the real problem here. This is now trading below 82, $82, I guess, or 82, whatever they call them. It's trading down 31 basis points off yesterday at 81.72. It could go lower. It's been lower. It may go very much lower. And as we see this continue to fall, we should see gold continue to rise. We're going to continue to see trouble in the stocks and the financials and elsewhere. Crude oil today, so far in early morning trading up 74 cents, trading above $60 now, $60.84, right in time, isn't it, for the Memorial Day weekend, the summer driving season, tourism taking it in the shorts once again by the high cost of fuel. But that's by design. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far today, $925.10 for a low, $934.20 for a high, for a looks like a $9 spread there. And so far at the $930.30 mark, gold is up year on year $9.30 for a 1.01% return on your investment. And if you'll notice, this number here is lower than it's been for the last few days. So last year, gold took a hit and traded lower for a period. So all we're seeing here is just a reflection of that. The London Gold Fix today, as we've been talking about the gold fix, they fixed the price, and that's going to be what it's going to be, 928.50 in the morning gold fix in London. And curiously enough, at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, gold was set at exactly 928.50. So you can see how much influence the boys in London have on the gold prices daily. When I report the gold prices, I'm reporting the spot price in the midpoint between the bids and the asks. I think that's the most representative number, right in the midpoint there. Anyway, the gold fix was at 928.50. The gold spot market is going to close in America, in New York, in 7 hours. Gold is a 24/7, 365-day-a-year process, however, never really closes. Let's go into those foreign exchange rates and close out the market reports on that. The Canadian dollar, all of the indices were up against the U.S. dollar, of course, because as the USDX goes down, the other currencies go up. So the Canadian dollar closed up a little bit today, now trading at 87 cents. And the multiplier there, if you want to do the math for yourself, is 1.1494. The Mexican peso at 8 cents. The euro $1.37. The British pound also up at $1.55. The Swiss franc is trading at 91 cents. So there's your little basket of currencies, and it helps you to understand what the globalists are trying to talk about when they say baskets of currencies. If you don't understand foreign exchange, we've done that. We've been there. I go back and look in the archives and check it out. A couple of days we spent on explaining what foreign exchange rates are all about. The 15-year mortgage this morning, 4.63. The 30-year stood at 4.99%. So hopefully you're not interested in buying a house. I'm certainly not interested in buying a house. Why go into debt? Just hold tight. Take Robert Schroeder's advice and just rent for a little while. Put your money into gold and silver. I think it's going to go up quite a bit higher. Now, having said that, let's go to this. Here's an article off Bloomberg by Claudia Carpenter. Gold demand surges 38% on investment, the council says. We all know who that council is. We've been talking about them, that World Gold Council. All the big players, all the big hands in the gold market. Well, let's find out what she has to say. Gold purchases rose 38% in the first quarter, led by investment demand that exceeded usage by jewelers for the first time since at least 2004, according to the World Gold Council. Now, what we see in this, there's two different aspects of the gold market. I've been trying to bring that to your attention. There is this electronically traded and exchanged funds. That's just basically the hypothetical or cyber gold. And then there's the jewelry gold, and then there's the gold bullion and gold coin markets. The gold jewelry and the gold coin market and the gold gold manufacturing and gold as a commodity, that's all dealing with the real world. This other bunch are all just a bunch of speculators, and they're monkeying with the market. And they also control a large interest in the market, and we need to be paying attention to that. Global demand increased to 1,015.5 metric tons from 733.9 tons a year earlier, the London-based Gold Council said today. Of course, they store the gold in London, and they fix the prices in London, and they are the World Gold Council, so what a mess. Anyway, continuing along here, they said today in a report based on figures from research company GFMS Limited, investment purchases more than tripled to 595.9 tons, while jewelry demand fell 24% to 339.4 tons. But if you recall our article read yesterday, the great expose on the SPDR gold exchange traded funds, the ETFs. We found that the ETFs were buying more gold than was being produced, which makes you have to ask the question, or demands or begs the question. I think that is the academically correct way of saying it. It begs the question, where are they getting this gold from, folks? I don't know very many people who are selling their gold, but this article is going to share a little bit of that. So gold rose to an 11-month high of $1,006.29 an ounce on February the 20th of 2009 as government spent trillions of dollars to fight recession, sparking inflation. Speculation is the key word there, will accelerate. In India, the world's largest gold buyer last year. The jewelry demand was the lowest in at least 20 years, and net retail investment turned negative for the first time as holders sold metal for recycling, the council said. Chinese demand was six times that of India. Of course, China is one of the largest gold producers on the planet, and India is one of the largest gold consumers on the planet, and I guess you can take it back and forth in a rickshaw on the back of one of their Brahmic cattle or something. In the current environment, investment demand, here's that word demand again. You know, we did a long series on that demand, brought that to your attention. Demand as the magic word, if you wanted to boil down sustainable development to just one word, you could use the word demand. But investment demand for coins, bars, and exchange-traded funds, there's that exchange-traded funds in there, was the highest since at least 2004 when the GFMS began tracking them and, quote, could well be, close quote, a record. GFMS senior metals analyst Philip Newman said jewelry demand had accounted for only about two-thirds of gold demand in the past 30 years. Investment flows in the first quarter of this year were unprecedented. And, based on an analysis of the past 30 years of the gold market, probably unsustainable in the long term. Got to throw that word sustainable in there, you know. UBS aging analyst John Reed wrote an email to who, we don't know, but concerns about inflation and currency, don't confuse this concern, this is hanky-wringing, don't confuse this concern with the various and sundry environmental and developmental concerns which are the corporations driving the planet. Anyway, that's that little bit there. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this commercial intermission.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908 691-2608 today.
Ian, we're back once again. Let's finish up this article on gold demand here off of Bloomberg. I keep track of this stuff for you folks so that you don't need to sit down with your notepad and try and scribble as rapidly as I can speak. Sometimes I can actually speak faster than I can think, and that's really a problem for me. But it shouldn't be a problem for you. We do need to want to be paying attention, however, to this in all of these various and sundry numbers that we get in regards to these various gold ETFs when they buy, when they sell, but also when we start to get ideas of world global gold production and consumption, because if these numbers don't come out at the end of the day balancing up, then we know that there's some funny business going on in the market. And I think that we need to be very careful right now, especially with the idea of having gold ATMs, the automatic teller machines, whatever they're called, automatic transaction machines, whatever they are. And with more of them coming on in Addis, I saw an article today, heard an article last night by Lee Rogers on his broadcast in regards to being able to walk up to a ATM and buy gold wafers, you know, these little micro things. Anyway, all of that. We do need to be paying attention because I think that there's a change in the offing. There's a change in the wind. We wouldn't be having all of these co-sponsors for Ron Paul's bill to end the Fed if we or audit the Fed if they weren't already well along and replacing the Fed with something else. But we'll find out more about that as we go on. The total demand here from India fell 83% to 17.7 tons from 107.2 tons a year earlier in Thailand. Total uses was a negative 16.9 tons compared with a net demand of 2.1 tons a year earlier. Purchases in China rose 1.8% to 105.2 tons. From 103.3 tons in the U.S., demand rose 15% to 55 tons. Well, you can see that we're falling way behind in our consumption of gold. Our demand for gold needs to be much higher than it has been. The idea really is to transfer all of the gold from the strong hands into the weak hands. If we can get all of the gold in our possession, that's going to give them pause, won't it? They'll have to start thinking a little bit. Anyway, owners of gold sold a record 558 tons of metal back into the market with net retail investment a negative 17 tons in India, 19 tons in Thailand, according to the report, and gold mine production rose 2.9% to 560 tons from 544 tons. Central bank sales slumped 55% to 35 tons from 77 tons. So all of that goes into my gold pile. Keeping track of what's happening in the gold markets. Let's go on here a little bit further. There's lots of news on my plate here. I don't want to spend all day on the news, however. This is an interesting one. Just to go back, I started the week out on Monday giving us the Washington events calendar. I'll try and do this again from time to time. Helps to understand what's happening in the markets if we know what's happening in Washington, the District of Corruption, the whorehouse on the Potomac. Here Wednesday, schedule 9:30 a.m., Treasury Secretary Timmy Geithner updates lawmakers on government's Troubled Asset Relief Program, the TARP, at the Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee, and that was at 9:30 a.m., so they're up to their elbows in sweet rolls and coffee right now talking about TARPs. At 10 o'clock a.m., the Securities and Exchange Commission considers a rule to change the federal proxy rules to facilitate director nominations by shareholders at the SEC headquarters, which leads us into this particular piece of news. This is off Bloomberg as well. U.S. considers stripping the Security Exchange Commission of powers in regulatory overhaul. Hear this now. Robert Schmidt and Jesse Westbrook. The Obama administration may call for stripping the Securities and Exchange Commission of some of its powers under a regulatory reorganization that could be unveiled as soon as next week. People familiar with the matter said these are the same people that stand behind the curtain on most days. They're the ones that hide behind the door under the desk. We never get their names, but they are familiar with the matter. Maybe this is insider knowledge. Maybe this is a leak from the White House. I don't know. The proposal, still being drafted, is likely to give the Federal Reserve more authority to supervise financial firms. What? Deemed too big to fail? What have they got to do with regulation? The Federal Reserve. The Fed may inherit some of the SEC functions with others going to other agencies, the people said. The people? We the people said that? The people said. That would be the people behind the curtain, the people familiar with the matter. Mm-hmm. Right. The Fed may inherit some SEC functions. Wouldn't the SEC be paying attention to the Federal Reserve as well? Aren't they supposed to figure out where the trillions went missing? But of course now, all of these Security and Exchange Commission oversight and regulations are going to be absorbed by whom? By the Fed. That's not the federal government, that's the Federal Reserve. The 75-year-old SEC chartered to oversee Wall Street and safeguard investors has seen its reputation tarnished as some lawmakers blamed it for missing the incipient financial crisis and failing to detect Bernard Madoff's $65 billion Ponzi scheme. Any move to rein in the agency is likely to provoke a battle in Congress, which would need to approve the changes and draw the ire of union pension funds and other advocates for shareholders. It would be a terrible mistake, said Stanley Sporkin, a former federal judge and enforcement chief at the SEC. Whatever the SEC has done or didn't do, it's still the premier investor protection agency around. SEC chairman, who we heard the other evening on a clip on Lee Rogers' broadcast, I think it was, or somebody's. So much good broadcasting on Oracle, it's hard to tell where I heard it. But the SEC chairman, Mary Shapiro, that would be a chairwoman, not a chairman. You know, what's wrong with these people, newspeak. Agency has been mostly absent from negotiations within the administration on the regulatory overhaul, and she has expressed frustration about not being consulted, according to people who have spoken with her. That would be those people, again, behind the curtain. She has pledged to fight any attempt to diminish the SEC, they said. Of course, they're still waiting for the pizza to be delivered. I guess we heard that. Maybe we heard that clip on Doug Owen and Michael Vail's broadcast on Sunday. Continuing here, Geithner, Sumner's Treasury Secretary Timmy, and National Economic Council Director Larry are leading the administration's efforts to redraw the lines of authority for policing the financial system. Quote, we're going to have to bring about a lot of changes to the basic framework of oversight so there's better enforcement, close quote, Geithner said May the 18th. It would have been yesterday, the day before yesterday, at the National Press Club in Washington. I don't know what he's doing there, maybe having a drink or something. Here's a quote. That's going to require simplifying, consolidating this enormously complicated segmented structure, close quote. Geithner may be asked about his plans for a regulatory revamp at the Senate Banking Committee hearing on financial rescue efforts in Washington today. That's why I brought this article up. Anyway, Geithner may be asked about his committee. Treasury spokesman Stephanie Cutter didn't respond to a request for a comment. The SEC also didn't immediately respond. There was a dinner meeting. Geithner was set to discuss the proposals at dinner last night with Summers, former Fed Chairman Paul Volcker, ex-SEC Chairman Arthur Levitt, and Elizabeth Warren. I wonder if they were having matzo balls. The Harvard University law professor who heads a congressional watchdog group for the $700 billion troubled asset relief program. Barry the usurper has said he wanted to sign legislation. I don't know why they allow him to sign legislation. Absolutely nothing that the usurper signs, no law that is passed under this rump parliament, will be of any effect whatsoever. All unconstitutional. He's not the president. He's not the president, period. All the rest of this stuff is just claptrap. Oh, well, keeps the Xerox machines humming in Washington. Here's another one. Oh, I wanted to go back to this. There's also at 2 o'clock p.m. there's going to be a hearing on aviation consumer issues and outlook for summer travel at the House Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee on Aviation. Well, here's an article. Well, we'll have to pick up that article on the other side. I'll be right back. Stay with us.
History will always remember. Networks. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Follow the revolution.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again, and our call-in number, of course, is 866-841-1065. If there's something you'd like to add on to the conversation, you're welcome to. Back to our little bit here, again, from the Wednesday's Washington events calendar. We see at 2 o'clock p.m. a hearing on the aviation consumer issues at the House Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee on Aviation. Here's an aviation-related piece of information they might be discussing, and I think that it's time to do that. Let's see, here it is. This is just a real brief one. There is a much longer article on the web. News 8 investigates airline mechanics who can't read English. Byron Harris, the WFAA TV. News 8 has recently revealed serious flaws in the way the FAA licenses mechanics who fix planes. Think about this before you take a plane trip sometime during the summer. There is evidence of years of problems in the testing of these mechanics. There's also evidence that hundreds of mechanics with questionable licenses are working on aircraft in Texas. Now there is evidence of repair facilities hiring low-wage mechanics who can't read English. Repairing airplanes is a complicated business, and I can tell you that's a fact. My father was an airline pilot, a military pilot. I spent most of my youth traipsing around out on the tarmac, following him from hangar to hangar. Nevertheless, there's a lot to repairing airplanes. Repairing airplanes is a complicated business. Airplanes have many manuals, and typically when mechanics repair a part, they open the manual, consult the book, and make the repair step by step as if it were a recipe book. They make a list of every action that they take, so the next person to fix the plane, as well as the people who fly it, that would be your flight engineer, will know exactly what has been done. If mechanics don't speak English, the international language of aviation, well, then they can't read the manual and they can't record their activities and no one can know what they've done. Maybe they'll bring that up at the hearing today. How about having a few more literate, fluent in English mechanics touching our vehicles and touching our aircrafts and our buses and our trains? There is a time and a place for diversity, and that's not it. Here's a little bit more interesting stuff. This is an action step, something that we need to do. I don't know how this and how or where it stands, but supposedly the House, that would be the House, the Congress, was supposedly to vote on a $1,500 tax on household energy yesterday. I didn't have time before the broadcast to pull this up and run it. It would be H.R. 2454, the American Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009. So we'll have to see what happens there. But they say, tell your committee representative to oppose the Waxman-Markey cap and tax bill. Let's find out a little bit about this cap and tax bill. It says your call is urgently needed to your representative who sits on the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Chairman Henry Waxman, Democratic of California, intends to vote this enormous tax hike out of committee by Friday, so maybe we still have time. At the very latest, and there's no time to waste, contact your committee representatives now. You might find out whether or not anybody that is representing you, we've studied this representation fraud before, but anybody that claims to represent you that may be on those committees, we need to talk to them. Here we go. Let's go into this. Today, and again, this came out on May the 18th, today, the House Energy and Commerce Committee began its multi-day markup of the misnamed American Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009, H.R. 2454. Make a note of that. Type it into your notepad or write it on your pad. Sponsored by Committee Chairman Henry Waxman, Democrat out of California, the bill attempts to impose a system of cap and trade in order to combat so-called global warming. That's that old global warming and peak oil scam. This massive across-the-board household energy tax, is being disguised by congressional liberals. Well, I can't agree with that. Liberal and conservative, that's old-age thinking. They're all bought and paid. The obverse and the reverse of the same coin. The complete failure of the established two-party political system, or perhaps it's their great triumph, nevertheless, let's continue, is being sold under the slogan, quote-unquote, cap and trade, which simply means giving the government power to put a cap on the amount of carbon emissions, CO2, produced by the production of electricity, gasoline, and heating oil forcing businesses to actively lobby Congress for higher cap levels, and to buy permits for the emissions they are allowed. It's buy-offs, payoff time. Rather than calling it cap and trade, it should be called cap and tax, as it caps American standards of living and taxes our uses of products whose manufacture emits CO2. Of course, we emit CO2. So do our pets. Oh, my insanity. If passed and signed into law, H.R. 2454 will further cripple our economy and drain your pockets in the following ways. Here's some bullet points you might consider. It will raise electricity rates by 90%, gasoline by 74%, and residential natural gas prices by 55% by 2035. Of course, inflation alone could do that, after adjusting for inflation, however. It imposes an annual burden of $144.8 billion, let's just round it off and say $150 billion per year, on U.S. households, and it will reduce household earnings by a projected $37.8 billion. It will further cut U.S. employment levels by 965,000 jobs by reducing economic output by $136 billion per year. This translates to a $1,145 increase in energy costs per American household. Aren't these people in Congress brilliant? It will force low-income households to disproportionately bear the across-the-board energy cost increase, as a larger percentage of the poor's income goes towards energy costs as opposed to wealthier households, like Al Gore. You know, he's only got a few square miles in his house. It sets the stage to effectively kill the coal industry, as it will be taxed so heavily, it will not be able to sustain itself. Well, that word is used wrong. I don't know why people like that word so much. And to sustain something means to prop up or shore up something that would otherwise fall on its own. The free market was allowed to operate in the coal industry. The coal industry would require no sustaining. Continuing here, although you'd never know it from watching or listening to the mainstream media, the vast majority of Americans will actually oppose enacting cap-and-trade tax policies. A recent Zogby International poll shows that only 30% of Americans support cap and tax, and 57% oppose it. The issue of global warming is even dead last among voter priorities, according to a Pew Research poll. Anyone with more than a few brain cells synapsing or sparking off ought to understand global warming is a bunch of nonsense by now. Cap and tax with the goal of energy rationing is dangerous, not only for your pocketbook, but also for the well-being of your family and your standard of living. H.R. 2454 is a truly unique piece of environmental legislation in that it promises not a single tangible benefit to the American people. All it does is promise massive tax revenues for the liberal-run federal government. Oh, stop that. Liberal-run federal government. Give me a screaming break. Think that the Republican Party did any better when they had control of it, Dorothy? Nah, not. Well, let's please do away with this liberal-conservative claptrap. What's liberal today was conservative yesterday. What was conservative yesterday was liberal the day before. Nonsense. Even James Hansen, the NASA scientist, well, I think that they're quoting people that I don't really support. So anyway, that's that piece of legislation, 2454, H.R. 2454. Check it out on the Internet. If you don't like it, get on the telephone now and take action. Let's block that piece of legislation and assure that it is stillborn, falls dead on birth. Now, here's another one in the last piece of news for today. California rejects Arnold Schwarzenegger. The budget measures, Michael Marois and William Selway, the May 20th article off Bloomberg. California voters rejected a package of budget balancing measures that Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger said were needed to, you know, I really like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I do. I think, you know, hey, I'm one of those children that grew up on the Weider program, you know, a set of weights in the corner, doing a little bit of weightlifting every morning. You know, I like that. He was always my big hero. Man, what a massive back he had. About 6.5 feet wide. Incredible. At a waist about 16 inches around. Incredible. What a bodybuilder. Nevertheless, as a governor, well, that's a different story. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger said we're needed to keep a $15 billion deficit from widening to $21 billion, a proposal to limit lawmaker pay passed. Here's a quote, "I respect the will of the people who are frustrated with the dysfunction in our budget system," Schwarzenegger said. Of course, he wouldn't have said it that way, but he isn't a very intelligent man. Don't sell him short by any means. Schwarzenegger said in a statement from Washington, conceding defeat, quote, "In order to prevent a fiscal disaster, Democrats and Republicans must collaborate and work together to address this shortfall. I say abolish the political party systems and let's do without the middleman." We'll be right back. Stay with us.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. financing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor. Absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at debtcrisissolutions.com. That's debtcrisissolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
And we've returned once again, daydreaming here, California dreaming. Okay, back into this article again. California rejects Schwarzenegger's budget measures. He says, Schwarzenegger says, I respect the will of the people who are frustrated with the dysfunction in our budget system. And then dropping down, in order to prevent a fiscal disaster, Democrats and Republicans must collaborate and work together to address this shortfall. Now we can see that there's a lot of there's a lot of stuff going on out there, people. We need to understand this. The global East understand that their party systems are falling apart. They can't get people to turn out at the polls. They can't get people to run for office. You know, it's just a house in shambles. But again, this is an excellent opportunity for us to take charge. This is a time for us to step forward here in 2010 and 2012. We do have people who have a pocketbook. We do have people who have an intellect. We have people who understand our Constitution, whether you buy into it or not. If you can understand it, understand the kind of a system of government that was actually created here. There are things that we can do to better our position and strengthen our position, and things that we must do, and we must do it rapidly. So we can take advantage while the opponent, if you will, is weakened, and move quickly, move rapidly. Bring all of our intellect and our energy into this mix, and secure a much greater position for freedom and liberty in the future. But it's going to require action on our part, unfortunately. So we're going to have to dive into this. But what's really important here in this particular article is it is changing the dynamic in California. I had a very long conversation the other night with a good friend of mine out in California, very much involved in all of this. And everybody's hoping that all of these propositions would get blown down, and they did. Let's find out a little bit more about them. Lawmakers, or five of those propositions were failing, with 60% of the votes counted, according to California's election office. The losing proposals would have capped spending and extended temporary tax increases, directed future surplus money to schools, authorized bonds backed by lottery profits, and diverted already dedicated revenue to the budget. Now, all that sounds great, doesn't it? But it wasn't, and it's not. Lawmakers put the measures on the ballot in February as part of a compromise to close what was then a record $42 billion budget gap. Since then, the deficit reemerged as California's economy, which is on its own, would be the world's eighth largest, worsened amid the national recession. The longer we wait, here's a quote from Arnie, the longer we wait, the worse the problem becomes and the more limited our choices will be, Arnold said. And then it goes through and it lists them all, the various proposals. Shall we do that? Why don't we? We'll save going into our study for today for the second hour. The Rainy Day Fund, here's some of the propositions. Rainy Day Fund, Proposition 1A, which was failing 36% to 64%, would have limited state spending to inflation plus 3% above a 10-year average. Limiting state spending to inflation plus 3% above a 10-year average. Revenue exceeding that cap would have been deposited in a rainy day fund that could only be spent during deficit years. See, every year is a deficit year. So there's no fund in the rainy day fund. It's another one of these Ponzi schemes like Social Security. Any surplus amounting to more than 12.5% of the general fund would have been available for one-time needs or pay down debt. The measure also would have extended three temporary tax raises approved in February. Now, the problem with all of this nonsense is that they're not cutting back in the spending. They need to cut back the spending. They need to shove several million of these illegal aliens across the southern border and out of the U.S. permanently. They need to cut back on their spending. Proposition 1B would have required the state to pay $1.5 billion from the rainy day fund. See how that works? On one, you put in money into the rainy day fund, then here, this Proposition 1B would have required the state to spend $1.5 billion from the rainy day fund to schools for years, 6 years, starting in 2011, and it was failing by 39% to 61%. As Aristotle said, such as you begin badly cannot help but to end badly. The problem with the educational system in this country is manifold. And it's not going to be solved with infrastructure, and it's not going to be solved by throwing dollars at it. It starts with curriculum, stupid, not bricks and mortar. And it also starts by getting all of the illegal aliens out of our schools. Proposition 1C, which would have allowed the state to sell $5 billion of bonds backed by future lottery proceeds and use the money for the budget. Why are we having legalized gambling in all of the states of this union? What's with this lottery thing for schools? Why is my real property and my personal property being taxed in the state of Missouri to finance these schools? It's the largest chunk of tax there is. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars every year to support this failing institution. 1D, Proposition 1D, would have allowed the state to strip $600 million over 5 years from a program that spends tobacco tax revenues on children's health. My God in heaven. How much more tax am I going to be, you know, taxed on cigarettes and alcohol and tobacco and all the rest of it and firearms? Get out of my life with your taxes, if you don't mind, please. If you're going to have children, be responsible about that and take care of their education. Ensure that and look forward to that. Why are we taxing tobacco? A minority, an extreme minority of the population, and then turning around and throwing that money at children's health. Were the children you ever go to a school lately? All of the vending machines, the soda pop machines, the drink machines. You ever look at the slop that they pull out of the microwave and feed the children? You wonder why children are sick and sickly. It's because what they are allowed to eat and what they're encouraged to eat inside the school building. And they're trapped there for 9 months of the year. We used to have cafeterias in schools where actual nourishment was prepared and served. That's not the case anymore. Now we have warehouse food factories that have monopoly control on providing slop for the children, slopping the hogs. Proposition 1E. Would have allowed lawmakers to siphon $250 million a year from a mental health services program financed by an income tax approved by the voters in 2004. It was losing 35% to 65%. Don't watch the magician's left hand while he's stealing out of the right hand, you know. siphoning $250 million a year from a mental health service program. What was that mental health service program? Maybe that was something that helped some of these returning veterans. They're over there at Abu Ghraib, busting indoors or shooting young children to death, following the Israeli leadership. Proposition 1F, which prohibits state lawmakers and elected officers from salary raises in years when the state is running a deficit, was winning 75%, 25%. Prohibits the state lawmakers and elected officers from salary raises. There you go. There's a little bit of intellect. There once was a time in the very beginning of this country where people would come in and serve for a year or 2 years on their own nickel. Immunity spirit, humanitarian, August Comte positivism. Don't have to go there. But now we've turned it all into a career. It's the biggest employer of the entire country. Government. 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 Employees. G1, G2, G8, V8. Nah, what a mess. The fact is, right now, here's a quote, Californians do not trust Sacramento or the political process by which the budget is crafted, and they cannot afford higher taxes, close quote. Meg Whitman, the former eBay chief executive officer who plans to run for California governor, said in a statement. The budget approved in February raised $12 billion in taxes, cut $16 billion in spending, and spent $8 billion of federal stimulus money. It also relies on $6 billion that would have been raised had the ballot measures won. Then we talk a little, the last little bit of this article about credit ratings. You know, U.S. Inc., the state of Missouri, the state of California, these corporations. Here's credit ratings. Three major credit card or credit rating companies, citing the magnitude of California's deficits, reduced the grades on more than $46 billion of their bonds in February and March. Now California's full faith and credit pledge is rated A by Standard & Poor's, and an equivalent A2 by Moody Investors Service. Five grades below the top investment ranking, junk bonds, if you will, California. California is the lowest rated U.S. state. A California general obligation bond maturing in 2038. It matures in 2038. Will we even have a country? Will there even be a state called California? Or will it just be Mexifornia? I don't know. We'll see. 2038, that's a long pull. Who would invest in a bond with that kind of a maturity date? Which traded for as little as 81.5 cents on the dollar on December the 4th, went for 96.4 cents to yield 5.5% on May 19th. There you go, 5% increase or 5% return on your investment. Why, in today's inflation market, you're only losing 7% per annum. Folks, don't buy bonds. They're a sucker's play. We'll be back on the other side of this brief commercial intermission. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Hey, and welcome back to our Wednesday, May the 20th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, the official website of this broadcasting network. My name is William Roberts, and once again, we've got good news, and we're deep into it. Hard facts, those are coming straight ahead, and workable solutions. And if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then join the club. You're in the right place at the right time to become vocal, local, no matter where you are. Whether you're getting harassed by illegal aliens and migrants in this global plantation in Australia, or whether you're being harassed on the streets of America, it's a global problem, folks. These little individual solutions are not going to work. Individual solutions to global problems are like band-aids on the sucking chest wound of the body politic. And it's time to put that kind of nonsense aside and start looking at for some real solutions, some lasting solutions. And so, closing out this article here, we've gained in the last hour, we find that gold was trading up about $5.30 and after trading at 9:30:20, silver was up 6 cents to 14:21. Of course, then we went through the rest of it in the first hour, went through the various and sundry economic news, lots happening out there today. And finishing up on this article here from California, California rejects Schwarzenegger's budget measures. And that's good news, truly good news. The Californians are finally starting to find their granadula and stepping up to the plate a little bit. There's a time to set aside your voter's registration card, and there's a time to use it, and to use it wisely. We need to start voting like stock shares, because that's exactly what we're dealing with. Stockholders in corporations that once were sovereign states. But we're going to talk about statism a little bit in this broadcast, too. I'm no fan of the statist. Continuing here, again, back to this article off Bloomberg, May the 20th, new news. The three major credit rating companies, again, citing the magnitude of California deficits, reduced the grades on more than $46 billion of bonds in February and March. Basically, it turns them in California into junk bond status. Schwarzenegger's proposed on May 14th, cutting another $6 billion in spending, half from schools to close the new gap. He said more cuts, such as releasing 19,000 illegal immigrants. They're not immigrants, they're aliens. This newspeak is going to have to stop. I think if you go back and listen to the archives or go up on my little website, you might find my talk on the International Migration and Development Agenda. So you can understand what we're up against when the United Nations and the various world federal councils and so on and so forth get together and they decide that all the borders of the world are now meaningless, non-existent things, and that all of the cattle, you know, like they think of us as chattel. When you sell an apartment building, all of the beds and the dressers and the chairs and the tables and things like that, that's the chattel. And it's a separate mortgage. You have a mortgage on the state, on the house, on the apartment building, and then you take a chattel's mortgage for all of the rest of the stuff, and they run at different amortization and depreciation schedules and so on and so forth, but we are the chattel, an expendable resource, human resources, if you will. But again, here, Schwarzenegger proposed on May the 14th cutting these billions in spending. Well, that's what he needs to do. But he's talking about releasing 19,000 illegal immigrants now held in state prisons, which would be necessary with voter rejection of the ballot measures. Well, excuse me, Arnie, you've got a better brain than that, and you've got the muscle to do it. Load them on buses and take them to Tijuana and insist that they never come back. How about hog notching their ears with a hog notcher so that if we ever see them on the streets of America, you know what to do with them immediately. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back once again here on our Wednesday, May the 20th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. It's going to be Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. So my name is William Roberts, starting into the second hour. Let's set aside the news now and go into the more weighty stuff. We've gone through this process. I should always get this out of the way so that I can't be termed a gatekeeper. Let's get our doubt, fear, and worry out of the way now, folks. All right, everyone, bow your heads. Doubt, doubt, doubt. Fear, fear, fear. Worry, worry, worry. There. Well, no. Now we're mainstream. Okay, let's go into something a little bit more intelligent, certainly more useful. We started out from this book some time back. We're like 20 parts into this talk on anarchism. It's a big study. Western Civilizations is the title of the book. It was written by Edward McNall Burns. It's a sixth edition. It's a college or university level textbook that's been used in Princeton and other places all around the United States and around the world to teach world civilizations. Sometimes they call it history. So Sometimes they call it civics or civ study or something. I've pulled up and read many, many little bits and pieces about it. But I did receive the instructor's manual the other day, and I'm looking forward to taking the time to read that amongst the other readings that I'm doing. But nevertheless, we've started out with a overview of the despotic oriental despotisms and all of the various and sundry parts and pieces of religion, the early priesthoods, which is a study in itself. I mean, Zeitgeist Part 1 points to it, and certainly there's much you can learn quickly in an hour right there. But understanding the history of the development of this control system is important. And then we stopped when we got up to went through Egypt and the Mesopotamia and all of that mess of Potamia, and we got to the Hebrews, another mess of Potamia, that little sandbox over on the Dead Sea, and isn't that named properly? Anyway, and we broke off there, because there's a tremendous amount of time it would take to go through the Greeks and the Romans and so on and so forth. We got through the Hittites and the Aegeans and whatnot, but we're going to leave that off. And then we went over and started picking up more modern applications of this concept of anarchism as it transferred or morphed from anarch and anarchy to anarchism. But before we go there again, we're going to talk a little bit more about capitalism and the development of the growth of banking, because it all plays into this. Again, we saw yesterday that the this rise of the commercial revolution from 1400 to 1700 is largely an outgrowth, a change, transition from feudalism to absolutism. And that's very important to understand. And that the emphasis here was a transition from the old guilds, you know, all of the secret societies, the Masons and so on, a transition from the guilds to merchants and capitalists, a big change, the entrepreneur. That word in itself is a study that we might take up one of these days. It's fascinating, the development of this concept of entrepreneur. But anyway, so we did go through a little bit of the beginning of capitalism. Let's continue, because the next stage is important as well. The growth of banking was necessarily accompanied by the adoption of various aids to financial transactions on a large scale. Credit facilities were extended in such a way that a merchant in Amsterdam could purchase goods from a merchant in Venice by means of a bill of exchange issued by an Amsterdam bank. Now, we're talking early time period here, 1400s thereabouts. The Venetian merchant, the banks of Venice, the Venetian merchants, the Medicis, would obtain his money by depositing the bill of exchange in his local bank. Later, the two banks would settle their accounts by comparing balances. Ultimately, a fairly complete system of international clearance, that's foreign exchange, folks. We talk about that, our basket of currencies. Ultimately, a fairly complete system of international clearance was set up, clearinghouses, you've heard of that, making possible the settlement of large numbers of accounts with very little interchange of coin. Of course, we were talking about gold and silver being raised from commodities to coin. And it's a very old institution, but it was brought back to life right here in this time period, the commercial revolution from 1400 to 1700 AD, in the common era, another way of looking at it. Among the other facilities for the expansion of credit were the adoption of a system of payments by check in local transactions and the issuance of a banknote as a substitute for gold and silver. Both of these devices were introduced by the Jews? No. Both of these devices were introduced by the Italians and were gradually adopted in Northern Europe. The system of payment by check was particularly important in increasing the volume of trade, since the credit resources of their banks could now be expanded far beyond the actual amounts of cash in their vaults. Sound familiar? The commercial revolution was not confined, of course, to the growth of trade and banking. Included in it also were fundamental changes in the methods of production, and this is the important part here, The system of manufacture developed by the craft guilds in the late Middle Ages was rapidly becoming defunct. The guilds themselves, these are the secret societies, you know, the shoemakers, the smiths, etc. The guilds themselves, dominated by the master craftsmen, had grown selfish and exclusive. Membership in them was commonly restricted to a few privileged families. Besides, they were so completely choked by tradition that they were unable to make adjustments to changing conditions. Moreover, new industries had sprung up entirely outside the guild system. Characteristic examples were mining and smelting in the woolen industry. The rapid development of these enterprises was stimulated by technical advances, such as the invention of the spinning wheel and the stocking frame and the discovery of a new method of making brass, which saved about half of the fuel previously used. In the mining and smelting industries, remember those Hittites, those hook-nosed people that brought us from the Bronze Age into the Iron Age. In the mining and smelting industries, a form of organization was adopted similar to that which has prevailed ever since. The tools and plant facilities belonged to the capitalist, while the workers were mere wage laborers subject to hazards of accident, unemployment, and occupational disease. This was part of the reason for the War of Northern Aggression, to facilitate this transfer from this large number of untaxed and untaxable Negroes and other slaves, indentured servants, etc., in the colonies, in the states, to this idea where everyone is just transformed into wage laborers, subject to hazards of accident, unemployment, and occupational disease. Continuing here, but the most typical form of industrial production in the commercial revolution was the domestic system, developed first of all in the woolen industry. The domestic system, we'll pick it up on the other side. We'll be right back.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic food,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
And we're back. So we're going into this little bit of history. You know, I guess if we can say that if truth is radical, this is certainly an opportunity to be philosophically radical this morning, getting a little bit of truth, understanding some of the mysteries, unraveling some of these mysteries that have brought us to the present age. Back at this time of the commercial revolution, how many people even knew such a thing existed? This author, Edward McNall Burns, is quite the man. I'm nearly finished with this 1,083 course book, a textbook that he wrote on world civilizations, and I'm overwhelmed by his acumen, his knowledge. It's vast. And his ability to weave this very, very intricate and complex process of 4,500 years into just 1,000 pages is just a testimony to his brilliance. And I'm surprised that there's not more information about this particular author available out on the internet. But anyway, back to his talk here. He's listing the fifth point in the incidence of the giving to the rise of commercial revolution. The first step was the rise of capitalism. The second, the growth of banking. The third was the expansion of credit facilities. The fourth was the decline of the craft guilds and the rise of new industries. And here the fifth is the domestic system. And it was an important change, an important shift going on here. Remember, we're making a transition from the feudal period, the Dark Ages, those nearly thousands of years that the mind forged manacles of the established church basically shut out the lamp of wisdom and reason. Nevertheless, having dug their way slowly out of this morass established by the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, they started to think again, and things began to happen. So here we are, deep into it. The domestic system derives its name from the fact that the work was done in the homes of individual artisans instead of in the shop of a master craftsman. You see, they were breaking the monopoly there on these guilds, this concept of being an apprentice, fellow craft, various degrees, 7 degrees, then you become a journeyman, then you become a fellow traveler, and so on, and all of that. But, continuing here, since the various jobs in the manufacture of a product were given out on contract in sweatshop fashion, the system is also known as the putting out system. Notwithstanding the petty scale of production, the organization was basically capitalistic. The raw material was purchased by an entrepreneur known as a clothier in the woolen industry and assigned to individual workers, each of whom would complete his allotted task for a stipulated payment. That's like piecework. In the case of the woolen industry, the yarn would be given out, first of all, to the spinners, and then to the weavers, then to the fullers, and then to the dyers in succession. When the cloth was finally finished, it would be taken by the clothier and sold in the open market for the highest price it would bring. The domestic system was, of course, not restricted to the manufacture of woolen cloth. As time went on, it was extended into many other fields of production. It tied in well with the new glorification of riches and the conception of a dynamic economy. Key phrase, powerful sentence, it tied in well with the new glorification of riches and with the conception of a dynamic economy. You see, had time allowed and we'd been able to go through this past 1400 years of history here on the air, we would have seen that in this preceding section, all about the feudal period, the Dark Ages, as they are sometimes mistakenly called, we had an entirely different process going on. It was very static as opposed to dynamic. And one was never driven by a there was no glorification of riches. It was just basically subsistence plus a little. But things are changing here. Perhaps, best of all, could be, I shouldn't skip that. The capitalist could now thumb his nose at the old restrictions on profits, you see. No association of his rivals could judge the quality of his product or the wages that he paid to his workers, perhaps. Best of all, he could expand his business as he saw fit and introduce new techniques that would reduce costs or increase the volume of production. In other words, we get rid of that old flat earth technology and we can start to improvise. Undoubtedly, the domestic system had advantages for the workers themselves, especially as compared to its successors, the factory system. Though the wages were low, there was no regular schedule for the hours, and it was generally possible for the laborer to supplement his family income by cultivating a small plot of land and raising a few vegetables at least. And we're hearing more and more about this, and if you recall our talk with Galen Chadwick, even though he is maybe mistakenly or intentionally hooked up with the sustainable development mercenaries, the Totnes bunch and the other Brits that are trying to spread this idea of localism and sustainable development globally, Prince Charles, the sustainable prince. Unfortunately, he's hooked up with that, but nevertheless, he and some of the people that are involved in this idea of the well-fed neighbor alliance are talking along this line where we have those kinds of employments that we can do on the internet, and then we have certain kinds of crafts and things that we can do, and at the same time, we can yet garden and raise stock and other things. There's a little bit of wisdom in all this, but again, it's a return to this commercial revolution period, 1400 to 1700 AD. Freedom from the supervision of a foreman and from the fear of discharge for petty reasons must also be accounted definite advantages. In other words, you didn't have somebody breathing down your neck all the time. On the other hand, it must not be forgotten that the workers were too widely scattered to organize effectively for common action. Common action, common action. Communism eventually, union working for sure. But again, this is a new thing happening in the development of man. As a consequence, they had no means of protecting themselves from dishonest employers. We're looking at the downside potential here now, who cheated them out of part of their wages or forced them to accept payment in goods rather than in cash, gold or silver. It is also true that toward the end of the commercial revolution, the workers became more and more dependent upon the capitalist, who now furnished not only the raw materials, but the tools and equipment as well. So in other words, they weren't able to take their wares to the next guy. They just started to move closer and closer into this labor menagerie. Let's say it the way he said it. He said it better than I did. In some cases, the laborers were herded into large central shops and compelled to work under a fixed routine, and that brings us into the Owenites, New Lanark, Manchester, England, and other places. The difference between this and the high-pressure methods of the factory system was only a matter of degree. And so we can see that as much is happening there. I'm going to leave off right there. We'll come back and start that again in the future. I found a very interesting part that I wanted to share with you. However, as you have heard me repeat numerous times and will hear me often repeat it again for the new listeners, we're always adding new listeners every day. There was a midnight, just shortly after midnight, on June the 30th of 2004, when I had this revelation come to me, two parts. The first part came in shortly after midnight on June the 30th. The second came on July the 1st at 10 o'clock. But anyway, combined, it goes like this. There is an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law, that in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated, privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. Now that's a lot of words. That's a huge thought. And I had to do a lot of research, and I'm still doing research, so that I could be a worthy bearer of that message and understand it well. We'll be back right after this break. Stay with us here on Become Vocal Local.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Actually, I've talked to Josh about it before.
Here we go.
You can't,
hold on.
You can't
hold on.
That
just
become
you,
vocal, oh, okay.
With your host, William Roberts.
And we are back once again right here on Become Vocal Local, as Jeff Thomas informed you. Our international call-in number is 866-841-1065, and the Austin, Texas area, 512-904-8014. Your calls are welcome. We've got Eric from Michigan with us on the line. Eric, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind, my friend?
I heard you earlier say that the fractional reserve banking method was originated in Italy. And I was curious if you had any documentation on when that kind of occurred. Like, did they have a year when Italians...
Yeah, we do. What we're dealing with really are the Medici's, Florence and Venice, in that area, the Venetians as well. We're looking at the 1400s to 1700s, and I'm sure in the close here of this, let's see which source materials he used in this particular section. Well, there's almost two full pages of references, selected readings, historical and biographical material, political theory, and source material that were used to create this particular chapter. So I'm confident that if we were to sit down and go through each of these listings carefully, we would be able to find more to expound upon that. But we're looking at that period of time right around the 1400s to the 1700s when all of that started to come on us and at us.
Yeah. I think that would be an interesting study to try and narrow that down a little more to a little less than a 300-year span. I've heard Josh Reeves talk rather great length about how it was like the Knights Templars on the Crusades who got the idea for fractional reserve and faith and credit-based money from, you know, like King Solomon and out of the old Mesopotamian societies.
Well, they, the Templars, the Templars had some to do with this as well, in that one of the things that was really, that they were all fighting at that time period was this prohibition against usury, and the Saracens, when they came in to Spain and all the places that they conquered and came in, they brought the, some of these systems with them as well. The Jews and the Mohammedans were the only two groups that really were allowed to be involved in the money lending aspects until such that the Templars came along, and the Templars introduced more of that as well. But that would be a really good study. I think you're right, Eric. We could go in and dig through my books and see what we can find and see if we can't nail it down. But this idea of the transformation from the prohibitions on usury and this idea of using checks and international exchange, all of that, that can be followed. We can just look at it. The creation of the Hanseatic League, for instance, was part of that, where we have Venetians, basically, what we could say loosely, the Italians, the decayed end result of the Roman Empire. They developed a monopoly on trade around the Mediterranean. It was just like their own private swimming pool, and they established this inland transportation system to bring from their ports that they controlled up to the inland areas, and hence the Hanseatic League, Austria and Germany and places like that, this idea of overland conveyance. And so they needed to have some way that they did not have to send their gold and take demand gold in payment and so on and so forth. They wanted to go to the checks or the banknotes or foreign exchange notes or something like that, because it was really dangerous then, as it was during the time period of these Oriental despots. It was really dangerous to carry large quantities of gold with you, because, you know, somebody carrying a big sword will take it from you every time.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about the dangers of shipping gold on ships and on the sea, and it is rather obvious. You know, we still have problems with pirates in the 21st century.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, that a really interesting study, an older study than even this, I didn't go into it. The book is packed away, but I have a man named Capt, C-A-P-T, Capt's book on Petra. Petra is a very interesting town, if you will, a stronghold on the King's Highway. And I believe that it was a central bank, a central banker's bank. It's the eye of the needle. You have to get off your camel and walk in this narrow little eye to get into this extremely small valley, narrow, kind of like a canyon, with sandstone walls. And they carved out all of these very unusual storefronts or facades, if you will. And the basic feature was a big square windowless box in the back. And so you can imagine that if the architecture indicates different countries, And so they would have Dorian columns and Roman architecture and Egyptian architecture and other different kinds of architecture, but they could simply be just the central banks for a place on that highway where people could do financial exchanges, and then they would just move gold from one vault to another simply by carrying a box left or right 100 feet. Very interesting thing, but Petra is part of this.
That is really interesting. It just proves time and again that fact really is more interesting than fiction.
Oh, phenomenally. I agree completely. I mean, if I had the time to read all of the things that I've got and the things that I want to go, I could just, you know, put the radio broadcasts aside and spend the rest of my life and never touch fiction. But from time to time, I do enjoy poetry.
Well, poetry is important. That's a whole another topic for me.
It is. Go ahead.
Now, please continue.
All right. Well, basically, you know, yeah, we could go into that, but I want to go into a little bit more of this anarchism talk and get out of that. But before I go there, I want to finish up this brief bit on the statism, if we could go there.
Splendid. Thanks for taking my call, Will. And if you see anywhere where it cites a more accurate date for when this whole thing was started, I'd be incredibly interested to discover that.
I'll go back and check, Eric, and I'll bring it out on the air hopefully tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Will. Don't spend too much time on it. I'm sure we can sort it out. But thanks for taking my call, and I'll be on the streams like always.
All right. Thanks for calling, Eric. Okay, folks, well, let's go back into it. Now, as I mentioned, there was this revelation. Now, so you could just say it's a profound thought if you want to, you know, say it if you want to. But I consider it as something that was revealed to me, and that it was so unusual, completely out of the blue, took me like a firestorm, and then it just simply overwhelmed me with study for a couple of years. But anyway, I'll say it again real quickly. There's an all-out war raging between legal positivism, which is a study in itself, between legal positivism and the natural law, another huge study, that in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned its codified statutory regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. What is statism? It's another big study, but here our author, Edward McDowell Burns, in a space of about two pages, sums it up beautifully. Let's hear what he has to say about that. The age of absolutism was important not merely for the establishment of absolute monarchies, but it bears even greater significance for its effects upon international relations. It was during this period that we're talking now 1485 to 1789, it was during this period that the modern state system came into existence. Statism, state system. During the era of approximately 1,000 years after the fall of Rome, states, in the sense in which we now understand the term, scarcely existed in Europe west of the Byzantine Empire. True, there were kings in England and France, but until almost the end of the Middle Ages, their relations with their subjects were essentially those of lords with their vassals. Important. The lords had dominium, but not sovereignty. In other words, they had the highest proprietary rights over the land, which constituted their fiefs. You hold your land in fee simple. Derives from this. They did not necessarily possess supreme political authority over all the persons who lived on their lands. Only through the extension of the taxing power, the judicial power, and the establishment of professional armies did such rulers, such as Philip Augustus of France, Henry II of England, Frederick II of the Holy Roman Empire, take steps to become sovereigns in the modern sense. We'll pick it up right there on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Howdy,
My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Right, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
And we've returned once again, going into the last segment. Boy, these hours do fly just right by. Anyway, going to go back in a little bit here and finish out this bit on the rise of statism. We may not be able to return to the text on anarchism today, but that's all right. There's tomorrow. Only through the extension of the taxing power, the judicial power, and the establishment of professional armies did such rulers as Philip Augustus of France, Henry II of England, and Frederick II of the Holy Roman Empire take steps towards becoming sovereigns in the modern sense. Even so, their domains continued their essentially feudal character for several more centuries. In yet another respect, these rulers were not sovereign. They were not free from external control. In theory, they were subject to the Holy Roman Emperor, who was supposed to have a universal secular authority over Western Christendom. More important, they were responsible for their personal conduct and even for their relations with their subjects to the spiritual authority of the Pope. So you see, we're starting to come out of this mind-forged manacle period and into the illumination, the Illuminati, the illumined ones. We're coming into the age of reason. We're putting away some of these original Oriental despotisms and the creation of the Catholic Church. By some historians, the beginning of the modern state system are considered to date from the invasion of Italy in 1494 by King Charles VIII of France. Involved in this war for conquest of foreign territory, That's important, by the way, where considerations of dynastic prestige and the balance of power, elaborate diplomacy, alliances and counter-alliances. It was in no sense a religious or ideological war, but a struggle for power and territorial aggrandizements. Very important, that little group of words. Other historians conceive of the Reformation as the primary cause of the modern state system. As I've so often in the past stated, that on October the 31st of 1517, when the German theologian and legal jurisprude Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church, he essentially crucified Christ afresh and drove a wooden hub right into the heart of Christendom as we stepped across the threshold from the old world order into the new world order. Again, here from the text, the Protestant, I should say, other historians conceive of the Reformation as the primary cause of the modern state system, and I do as well. The Protestant Revolution broke the unity of Western Christendom. It facilitated the determination of kings and princes to make their own power by repudiating the authority of a universal church. In other words, it was no longer papal infallibility. It was the infallibility of the people, and at the time, their Bible. Big difference. Repudiating the authority of a universal church, the one world religion, universalism. As early as 1555, the Peace of Augsburg gave to each German prince the right to decide whether Lutheranism or Catholicism should be the faith of his people. It was probably, however, the Treaty of Westphalia that played the dominant role in making the modern state system a political reality. And this is something to study and something to understand well. This treaty, which ended the 30 Years' War in 1648, transferred territories from one rule to another with no regard for the nationality of their inhabitants. Nations are not the same as governments. Governments are not the same as states. But this treaty, the Westphalia Treaty, which ended the 30 Years' War in 1648, transferred territories from one rule to another with no regard for the nationality of their inhabitants. Very, very fundamentally important. It recognized the independence of Holland and Switzerland and reduced the Holy Roman Empire to a fiction. Each of the German princes was acknowledged as a sovereign ruler with power to make war and peace and to govern his domain as he chose. Finally, the treaty introduced the principle that all states, regardless of their size or power, were equal under international law, and of course we're going to have to go into Hugo Grotius and others for that, and endowed with full and complete control over their territories and inhabitants. Here are the elements our author cites as the elements of the modern state system, the rise of statism. In the rise of statism, the state arrogated unto itself all of the natural law. Here they are, the elements of the modern state system. Whatever its origins, the modern state system may be considered to embody the following elements. One, the equality and independence of all states. Two, the right of each state to pursue a foreign policy of its own making, to form alliances and counter-alliances, and to wage war for its own advantage. Three, the use of diplomacy as a substitute for war, often involving intrigue, espionage, and treachery to the extent necessary for political advantage. Four, the balance of power as a device for preventing war or for assuring the support of allies if war becomes necessary. So as I've said so many times before, when we think about isms, we need to run our antennas up full beam. We have to turn on our high beam lights. We need to empower our power of discernment. Because altogether too often in my research, I have found that with isms, there are almost inevitably founders. And if you'll read the writings of the founders, you will find their faith statement. And here, our author has coalesced these four essential elements of the modern state, which could be considered the faith statement of statism. Most of these elements, our author continues, of the state system have continued to the present day. Even the establishment of the League of Nations and the United Nations brought no substantial change. For both were founded upon the principle of sovereign equality of independent states, and some observers believe that there will be no prospect of world peace until the system of sovereign independent states is recognized as obsolete and is replaced by a world community of nations organized on a federal basis. And from this we can understand, and we must remember, as we gave the briefest of a thumbnail bio on our author, he was at least at one time involved with an internationalist group. We don't know which one. He is definitely advancing a little bit of that bias here. We can accept that. But at the same time, we can also look at this closing paragraph, if you will, from this particular chapter on the Age of Absolutism, and we can see the World Federal Council, the International Democratic Union, and all of these various and sundry other global groups, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, and so on and so forth, these other groups that are basically intent upon replacing this concept of statism with globalism. Now, of course, it falls to us, and it reminds me of the little example that I'm using lately. If one pill makes you sick and two pill makes you really ill, why have 4, 8, or 16, or 32? And as Aristotle says, such as you begin badly, you can't help but to end badly. No matter how much work you follow a mistake, you've still got that mistake there staring you in the face. And so if the rise of statism, the age of absolutism, was an error, then no matter what we do to try and perpetuate statism, we just compound the error. If the globalists believe that no prospect of world peace until the system of sovereign independent states is recognized as obsolete and is replaced by a world community of nations organized on a federal basis. Again, there's this federalism. Alexander Levine, Hamilton, probably the British agent, the worm in the apple of the founding of the constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, a strong central government and a central bank. Oh, well, there's just so very much to it. Hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast. We'll be back again tomorrow and pick up the thread of philosophical radicalism right where we've left off. Until then, have a good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.